So, what is a ghost?
I don't know. White, flying blankets?
Are you scared of ghosts?
Yes. No, but I am scared of the dark.
Why?
Because they're too scary.
Is a ghost a good or a bad thing?
I don't know. Bad. Bad, bad, bad. Because they always scare you.
The Bible says that God is called the Holy Ghost. What do you think that means?
It's practically like God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. It means that he's good, and he is the Holy Ghost, and he loves us so much.
Hello and welcome to Tellius Talk. My name is Wendell Martins, and I am your host. Today, our podcast is called I See a Ghost.
You are listening to the Tellius Talk podcast. Our goal is to build spiritual maturity among Christians so that we would be complete in Christ. Here is your host, Wendell Martins.
When I was younger, I became very interested in all things occult. When I was in high school, there were many options available to me to really search out what the occult was. Between novels like Dead Air and This Present Darkness series, the writings of Rebecca Brown, the Bible Answer Man broadcast, and the book Kingdom of the Cults by Dr. Walter Martin, I had an insatiable curiosity as to why there is evil in the world. This is a question that everyone asks, and there was a draw in me to the secretive nature of all things subversive. Through my interests and the experiences of others, I must say in confidence that I fully believe there is a supernatural aspect to our lives which cannot be ignored. But even as I dabbled in these areas, I always maintained a posture of pursuing what is right. And this has served me well all these years later. As Christians, we often gloss over this understanding of the supernatural by describing evil in a certain style popularized by Saturday morning cartoons, TV, movies, and popular fiction. Oafish and tragically comedic. Coming through the season of Halloween as we are, the presence of ghosts, spirits, the undead, and all evil things are being celebrated. But is this harmless fun? Well, maybe. But as Christians, we should understand the impetus hidden in this fun. Last month, we talked about occult practices in the church, and it is easy to see that when we begin to downplay the supernatural, we laugh at those things which should terrify us. It should be no shock, then, to anyone who has read the scriptures that the supernatural exists. The supernatural is real, and it is a present force in our lives. The tales of ghosts and the subsequent belief in them are prevalent around the world, found in the folklore of all traditions and the orthodoxy of all religions. All cautionary legends are warnings told to promote morals and good behavior and highlight the dangers of straying from social and religious norms. They nearly always represent the spirit of a person whose death was unexpected, unfortunate, or unnecessarily tragic. Often we refer to ghosts as lost souls or wandering spirits, and this refers to how we attempt to forgive or downplay the true evil of such an activity. There is even a notion that the word ghost is simply a colloquial term for our spiritual selves. In the 1920s, Western culture saw a resurgence of spiritualism, popularized by figures such as Harry Houdini, Sir Arthur Conan Doyle, and Thomas Edison, buoyed by a movement which started in 1840s New York and popularized by such figures as Mark Twain and Queen Victoria, this was a turn away from matters of faith to define the supernatural through science and rationalism. Unlike his contemporaries, Harry Houdini fought against spiritualist frauds which inundated the popularity of seances, mediums, tarot readings, and magic shows of his time, going so far as to ask the U.S. Congress to ban the practices he witnessed, being attached to this seemingly benign form of entertainment. Occultic literature by Aleister Crowley only accelerated the culture of the time to embrace the exciting promises of this spiritualism. The surge of this movement came on the heels of the horrifying and often misunderstood claim God is dead, which Nietzsche had penned only 40 years earlier. If we look at the works of theater and drama which proceed from the Victorian era, we can see how this popularity seeped into all forms of entertainment and still resides there today. A growing use of amphetamines and interest in indigenous psychedelics during this period of Western culture added to the mystery of how we interacted with the unseen spirit world around us. These spirits represented then and now children, spouses, and loved ones we felt compelled to speak with, to beg forgiveness or ask direction, simply to feel their presence. But ghosts were not a creation of these people or this time, and if we are to understand our fascination with ghosts, we must look at a history that extends well over 3,000 years into man's past. One of the stories we point to as a confirmation of man's fascination with the spirits of the dead and ghosts comes from the story of King Saul in 1 Samuel chapter 28, and his visit to the witch of Endor. Upset that God would not speak with him, Saul sought out a witch to consult a spirit for him. Then in 1 Samuel 28, verse 11, Saul asked to speak with Samuel, who had been his mentor, sage, and prophet. The witch obliges, and we hear the ghost rebuking Saul, telling him that he and his sons will die, and God will hand Israel over to the Philistines. But rabbinical teaching and interpretation of this verse says that at no time did Saul see Samuel. Instead, the witch is the only one who is granted the vision. Shimon Bar Efrat, Old Testament scholar and contributor to the Jewish Study Bible, notes in this verse that the appearance of Samuel's ghost is considered to be real, not trickery by the woman or imagination of Saul. The Bible believes in the possibility of sorcery, soothsaying, and necromancy, but prohibits them as heathen practices. 1 Samuel 28:13 refers to this ghost as a divine being. The word used here is a plural form of Elohim, and would have been understood to mean a small g god or angel. Whatever it was that the witch saw, it was not the familiar spirit or demon she expected, and her reaction reflects that. In Job 7, verses 9 and 10, we read, "When a cloud vanishes, it is gone. In the same way, one who goes down to Sheol does not come up. He will not return to his house again, nor will his place know anything about him." The teaching of death would have been very evident to Job. It would have been taught through Egyptian and early Babylonian religious practices, but they taught that the spirit could return. What we read here contradicts this idea by saying that once you descend to Sheol, you don't return. The writer of Psalm 146, verse 4, repeats this notion when he says, "His spirit departs and he returns to the earth, but on that very day, his plans perish." Clearly, there is no revisitation of the spirit of the dead. So what are we to make of ghosts? What are they exactly? Sometimes the best place to go to find our answers is the place of consensus. If you spend any time looking for information about ghosts, it becomes evident that these are spirits which possessed some degree of evil. African folklore describes ghosts as malevolent monsters, vampires, and demons. Asian folklore classifies ghosts as supernatural beings who are inherently evil in nature, such as demons. Middle East folklore sees ghosts as evil, mischievous demons who disguise themselves as animals or become invisible with the intent of draining a person's blood. It's only in European and North American folklore where ghosts seem to have a less evil persona, but even here, they pursue vengeance, represent warnings, play pranks, and bring misfortune on the unexpected. Tock Thompson, professor of anthropology at the University of Southern California, said, "Ghost stories invite discussions of the soul and the afterlife, and appear in different forms in various cultures throughout time and around the world. Western classics such as Shakespeare's Hamlet, Henry James' The Turn of the Screw, Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol, etc., make frequent use of ghost stories, as does literature from many civilizations." So now that we know a little about why ghost stories fascinate us, let's talk about the reality of ghosts and spirits. Known as ghosts, spirits, wraiths, or phantasms, if what we are seeing is not the spirits of the dead, then are ghosts actually evil spirits, or are they demons? The writer Rick Barry of Baptist International Evangelistic Ministries asks a few important questions that we should consider. If a ghost is the spirit of a dead person, shouldn't a spirit appear unclothed after shedding his earthly body and its garments? is one to conclude that pants, shirts, dresses, and medieval armor contain spirits of their own and faithfully cling to the ghost of a person. Further challenges to logic stem from the stories of ghost ships, such as the Flying Dutchman, or ghost trains and similar accounts. Does a vehicle constructed by human hands gain a soul that reappears later? The great scholar C.S. Lewis wrote, "There are two equal and opposite errors into which our race can fall about devils. One is to disbelieve in their existence, the other is to believe and to feel an excessive and unhealthy interest in them. They themselves are equally pleased by both errors and hail a materialist or magician with the same delight. This is the error I believe we make when discussing ghosts as well. It is human nature to desire connection to the spirit world and the supernatural, and if we can color the truth of it with a benign veil of harmlessness, it only serves to mislead us from the truth. If we study the King James Version of the Bible, we will find the word ghost appears some 108 times, but the word never refers to the disembodied spirit of someone who has died. There are really only two ways that it is used. The first manner is one which we are familiar with, the phrase, to give up the ghost, which simply means to die. The second instance is that which is used in the title the Holy Ghost, which is the third person of the Godhead, the Trinity. What we commonly call ghosts or spirits of the dead, the Bible refers to as familiar spirits, and it warns us against having anything to do with them. Leviticus 19:31 says, "Do not turn to ghosts or spiritists. Do not seek them out or be defiled by them. I am the Lord your God." Isaiah 8:19 reads, "When they say to you, consult the mediums and the spiritists, who whisper and mutter, should a person not consult their God? Should they consult the dead in behalf of the living?" Why would the Bible leave these warnings if ghosts and spirits were harmless? According to the website hauntedoc.com, during the Middle Ages, people often believed that ghosts were earthbound spirits of the dead, who for some reason or another were trapped here on earth after death. There is no biblical support for this point of view, although it probably was associated with the Roman Catholic view of purgatory. Dr. Walter Martin, in a recording entitled Doctrine of Demons, said, "There are no innocent things. They are dangerous things that must be faced by believers in Christ. The people who play with Ouija boards and think it's cute, the people who try to levitate tables, read tarot cards, tea leaves, and their palms, the people who try to find out whether they're Gemini, Virgo, or Scorpio, and what the paper said today about what tomorrow will be, these are people who are flirting with the kingdom of the occult, and it is dangerous because it reaches out to another dimension and endangers the soul. You do not have to go to Africa to find demons. Africa, South America, the dark continents of the world, none are darker than America." There is nothing wrong with claiming that ghosts are real, but they are not angels from God or the spirits of our dead loved ones. Instead, they are fallen angels trying to deceive us. Let's look at Ephesians 6, verses 11 and 12. It says, "Put on the full armor of God, so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of darkness, against spiritual forces of wickedness, and the heavenly places." 2 Corinthians 11, verses 14 and 15 says this, "Even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. Therefore, it is not surprising if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness, whose end will be according to their deeds." Let's be very clear about something. We do not become angels when we die, so why would we associate ghosts with the spirits of the dead? Clearly, that which we identify as ghosts are in fact evil spirits. In that vein, it seems that we turn to evil spirits when we abandon God, and that certainly seems to have been the actions of Saul. And it is reflected in our culture, which wants nothing to do with the biblical God. There are so many more things we could explore regarding the existence of ghosts and a biblical perspective, but I'd like to finish this month's episode addressing just one more ghost, and that is the Holy Ghost, aka the Holy Spirit. In Season 2, we dedicated Episodes 3 and 4 about talking about the Holy Spirit, and I'd like to encourage you to take an opportunity to listen to those episodes for a more in-depth study. The Bible has many names for evil spirits. Familiar, like we read in 1 Samuel 28. Lying, which we find in 2 Chronicles 18, verses 20 and 22. Bondage, Romans 8, 15. Death, 1 Corinthians 10, verse 10 and 15, verse 26. Fear, 2 Timothy 1 verse 7, and jealousy, which we find in two places, Genesis 4 verse 5 to 8 and Numbers 5 verse 14. This is just to name a few, but the Holy Spirit is wisdom and understanding, counsel and might, the knowledge of the fear of the Lord, according to Isaiah in chapter 11 verse 2. The Holy Spirit is freedom, according to 2 Corinthians 3:17, and the Holy Spirit is the conviction of sin to those who do not believe in God, as we read in John 16, verses 7 through 15. David Kinnaman, in his book Unchristian, What a New Generation Really Thinks About Christianity and Why It Matters, writes this: surprisingly, the Christian faith today is perceived as disconnected from the supernatural world, a dimension that the vast majority of outsiders believe can be accessed and influenced. Our belief as Christians in what ghosts are reflects the truth of his statement. Now, I enjoy watching the exploits of Ichabod Crane or the thrills of The Sixth Sense as much as anyone. But if I think for a moment that these myths and works of fiction contain any iota of truth, then I am deceived. What we believe about these things, about ghosts and spirits, is a benchmark of our faith. Billy Graham once wrote, "Don't confuse the Holy Spirit with an emotional feeling or a particular type of spiritual experience." Francis Chan, in his book Forgotten God, wrote, "If it's true that the Spirit of God dwells in us, and that our bodies are the Holy Spirit's temple, then shouldn't there be a huge difference between the person who has the Spirit of God living inside him or her, and the person who does not?" You see, unlike the ghosts and evil spirits of the world, we should want to be indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. New Testament scholar and theologian N.T. Wright wrote, "Those in whom the Spirit comes to live are God's new temple. They are, individually and corporately, places where heaven and earth meet." And that brings us back to the mystery and fascination of ghosts. The spirit world tries to blur and confuse the lines between heaven and earth. Evil spirits provide only bondage, fear, and death. But the Spirit of God fills us with freedom, wisdom, and life eternal. Menno Simons wrote in his Renunciation of the Church in Rome, "Nobody can be truly called a preacher and God-pleasing servant in the Lord's house and church without having the Holy Spirit, which worketh in all true Christians." So if the Holy Ghost is not in us, can we call ourselves Christian? I see ghosts around me everywhere, evil spirits which wear away at us and erode the truth of God. But I am indwelt by the Spirit of God to teach and proclaim the truth, so that we as Christians might become complete in our faith. Let us pray. Father God, we are surrounded on all sides by the evil spirits that come to mock us, to give us fear, to raise our anxiety, and to turn us away from you. I pray that we would not be ignorant of the supernatural, but we would truly understand what it is and what it is trying to do in its interaction with us as humans. We pray for your hedge of protection, and that you would put your hand on us and have us put on the armor that you have given for our protection. I pray this in your name. Amen. Next month, Telly's Talk will be talking about social justice. What is social justice? As Christians, is the idea of social justice something that we should support or something that goes against what we believe? Donations to Telly's Talk can now be made through PayPal. There is a link in the episode description. Please consider supporting our ministry. I look forward to talking to you again.
Thank you for joining us for this month's episode. If you enjoy the Telios Talk podcast, please contact us on Facebook or Twitter X. Don't forget to share Telios with people you know. Our book, Six Good Questions, is a great resource for small groups, your personal library, or as a gift. Look for it on Amazon. Keep us in your prayers as we prepare our podcast every month.